Hello, everybody. This is Sugar Shane Peterson, the producer of Cairo Nights, and we've made it to the last hour for this installment of the Best of Cairo Nights. And this one comes from a few weeks back. We've got good old Stacy Joe Ross coming in, and Jack had to talk about the subject that is, it can be a sore subject for some, but an inviting one for many. He's here to talk to Stacy about astrology.
Joining us, Stacy Joe Ross, a.k.a. I can't tell if you're being sarcastic or if this is going to be awesome. Stacy.
Sometimes those could be the same thing.
Yes.
To be fair.
The day before Jack Stein goes on vacation.
Yeah.
The news gods blessed me, Stacy, because I was like, I don't want to talk about anything heavy. I don't want to talk about Nazis. I don't want to talk about anybody in the GOP. I don't want to talk about crazy Democrats. I don't want to talk about, I just want to talk about something nice and light. And thankfully, Stacy, the stars aligned, pun intended, and we have been gifted a news story so that I can talk about a topic that I rarely get to talk about, but I love, love to talk about it.
Okay.
So Saturn, Mars, Venus, and Jupiter are going to line up together this month in a rare celestial spectacle. Hooray!
What's it mean?
Exactly. So for from Sunday through Wednesday, the 24th, the planetary alignment of Mars, Venus, Saturn, and Jupiter will be visible to the naked eye and via telescopes. It's going to be pre-dawn, making a quartet of planets strung out in a line across the morning sky.
Whoa.
Yeah, pretty awesome.
Jack, this isn't good.
Why?
This isn't good. This means something.
Okay,
so this means something, Jack.
So, Stacy, this is what I wanted to talk to you about. Do you believe or are you a fan of astrology?
I don't believe in it. Sometimes I read it for fun.
Yes.
But no, I think that I've looked at multiple horoscopes and been like, that's me. That's not me.
Okay. So I did a little bit of research and I found out that on average, between 4 out of 5 women believe that there is some truth or some validity to astrology, whereas 4 out of 5 men do not believe that there is any validity to astrology whatsoever. And I think that one of the things that happens is that, like, do you have anybody in your life that's dedicated to this, Stacy? Because
I was going to say literally every woman I know is. In fact, I saw the meeting of two of these parties where one of my friends who believes in it, fully believes in it.
Yes.
She'll be like, well, he's a Scorpio. So and I'll be like, what? I don't. OK, I don't even know what that means.
Yes.
She face to face had a debate with another friend, coincidentally, or maybe not a man who does not believe in it at all. And she was like completely baffled that he didn't believe in it. And they went back and forth for a long time about whether or not any of it matters at all. And so, yeah, I would say most of my friends who are women absolutely will like check out their horoscope, ask about their horoscope, or like I like to see some truth because I don't know how many of my friends believe it fully, but they'll kind of. They believe parts of it.
Yeah, I think that like people are always looking for some way or some through some mechanism to talk about their deep emotions, right? Everyone's kind of looking for like some technology or some way to verbalize maybe their fears or their hopes or their dreams. So some people do it through religion. Some people do it through sports, I think.
Yeah.
And some majority of women do it through I always want to say astronomy, but that's not right. It's astrology.
Incorrect.
So yeah. I looked up my horoscope, Stacy Joe Ross, and I have to tell you that I think I know why people like it so much. I think it's because it appeals to our narcissism.
Oh, 1,000%. When you were talking about finding like that sense of self, I was like, you know what it is? It's wanting to know who you are. It's the reason everyone takes those 16 personality tests and you take different personality quizzes all the time is you want to be able to see you and all the good things about yourself from another point of view.
So I actually did this before I took the Myers-Briggs personality test. And are you familiar with this?
Yes, I am.
So I have the, I'm in the 2% of the population, Stacey, that is an INTJ, I think.
Wow. See, I tried to test into a more, because I'm a narcissist, I tried to test into a more rare type. Like, I literally tried to skew my answers so that I would be, because we all took it at work. I mean, we had to do it for, in part, like a work thing, but then it was a while ago in the sports pit, which is where all the hosts and producers. So we're all taking it, and two of the people got like that INT. They were the really rare ones or whatever.
Yeah.
And I was really annoyed because I was ENFJ, which is so basic. It was okay. And your and their mom, like, who isn't? And so I tried taking it multiple times to skew my answers to where I would seem smarter or more rare. And I kept getting the same one. I was so annoyed.
So my my horoscope today basically is like one of the most it's one of the most vague and generalized proclamations that someone could ever want to read about themselves. So it says, choose your words wisely today, dear Libra, as the Sagittarius moon activates the sector of your chart that governs communication, amplifying your voice. Be sure to use your platform for positivity and avoid engaging in petty gossip, or you may have to answer for it later. A grounded energy will fill the air later this evening when the sun makes its way into earthly Taurus. This solar placement will ask you to release any situations, behaviors, or people that are no longer serving you over the next several weeks, making it important that you prepare yourself for change and personal transformation. So another way of saying that is, don't be a gossip and be okay with change, which is like
general feedback,
like, which is like good advice, which advice that I would give anybody else. But they try to make it seem like it's full of mysticism and magic and like this is going to be the future. There's another one about my daily love or my daily work. And obviously my horoscope doesn't know that I'm happily betrothed to my partner, because it's like be on the lookout for fresh love. And I'm like, what? What are you talking about?
You're like, I would never. Do you think there's anyone listening right now where I was going to read mine, which is a Gemini? Do you think there's anyone listening that's like, oh my God, Jack is such a Libra and Stacey's such a Gemini?
Yes, absolutely.
Like,
100%.
Makes total sense for them. And they're like, I absolutely get it. It's also really vague. And maybe adding to me not believing it as much is the idea when you meet someone or a couple people that have the same horoscope and you're like, we are not the same person.
Yes.
But also I used to, for a company that I worked for before, we would write horoscopes. So it's like, I know that you make it up and I know that you write random things. And ours were funny because they were mean horoscopes. So they would be like, oh, you're obsessed with yourself again today, Leo, go figure. here's what's on your plate.
Do you think, so I actually knew a guy I don't know his God-given Christian name, so I don't feel bad using his name on the radio now, but he was a guy, his name was Michael Mercury. And he was, I have to be really delicate here because someone could send this audio clip to him, but let us just say that he would come into my radio partner at the time, Dave Michaels, would invite this guy on when he didn't want to do a radio show that day. And so we would do 3 hours of Michael Mercury having people call into the show. So people would call in and they would give him all of their information, what day they were born, what hour, where they were, you know, all this stuff.
Yeah.
And then he would do a chart reading for them. And it was some of the worst radio I've ever done in my life. It was awful. But the thing about Michael is that he would just speak in these generalities. He would basically do cold readings of people. And he would fill people's minds with like this woo-woo, and it was so upsetting to me. And again, this is in my humble opinion, but people would call in and they would have injuries or loved ones who had passed away, or they would have disease or whatever it is. And he would do these cold reads where he would go, so you were born in 1955. You've lost someone recently. And they would go, yes, my best friend died 2 years ago.
Wild. Maybe because he was born in 1955.
I know.
Crazy how you were able to figure that out.
And then he would say, it feels like you're suffering from, your chart is saying that you're having some kind of heart disease or pulmonary issue. And they would say, yes, my cholesterol is so high right now. And he would go, yes, your chart says this exactly, right? And people bought it. And I despised the man for his arrogance, but B, like his whole, I have to be really delicate here, his business model, which was to say, oh, let me do a full chart reading for $300. Go ahead and call me at this number, so on and so forth. And I despised the man. I thought he was one of the worst human beings I had ever met because he was playing on the fears of what of just someone's natural life condition, right? Someone's just kind of natural ambiguity of life. What does it all mean? Where are we all going? And he would toy with people. And it was just like, in my humble opinion, one of the most perverted things that I have ever seen. And yet, you know, I think still to this day, I think he does radio down in Santa Barbara or something. I think he pays or something for his show. But I really came to despise astrology, which is why I take every opportunity that I can to rant and rave about it. But it rarely comes up, Stacey.
Well, you despise grifters.
Grifters.
So this makes sense that if there are people that you feel like are taking advantage of everyone's desire to know ourselves more and feel like we have purpose and feel like we're here for a reason or there's something about us that, you know what I mean? Like, everyone wants that, like that sense of purpose, that sense that like, oh, I know a bit more about myself this way. And there's something that's kind of like a high from reading something and thinking, oh, my God, that is how I am.
Yes,
wow.
Yeah.
Like, there. I mean, whether it's with they have like psychic readings or what's it called when someone is trying to reach dead loved ones?
Oh, a medium or a...
Yes, yeah. Like mediums. Or I think there's that feeling, in that case, sometimes of closure, but also that, like, there's a kind of excitement that comes with feeling like something's true. In part because I think a lot of people aren't 100% in belief. Like, they kind of believe it, so they get, like, a thrill of seeing that something's true. So I think that people get kind of addicted to that feeling. The one thing I'll say, unrelated to all of this, is... I dislike anything that allows people to excuse bad behavior.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
If you have a temperament and you are horrible to people and rude to people, I don't want to hear, well, honey, I'm a Sag. So it's just like, no,
yeah,
you're in the workplace and that behavior isn't appropriate.
Yeah, I think that maybe people lean on it. You know, they lean into this woo-woo mysticism in a lot of ways, and then they adopt it as a personality trait, or they adopt it as like an explainer for certain behavior. I mean, one of Sarah's best friends does exactly this, where they try to justify other people's behavior by saying, oh, they are a Sagittarius, or they are a Leo, or whatever it is. And I go... You know, this is in no way rooted in science or psychology or any. This is all like pagan worship, basically. And you're asking me to like play pretend with you is what it feels like to me. Like, it feels like a little game when people are like, let's pretend like the stars in the sky have some kind of effect over what kind of person that we are. Because technically, Stacey, under the map here, you and I should not get along whatsoever. Right?
Right.
Libras and Geminis, we're supposed to be mortal enemies.
We're basically the families and feuding families in ancient stories. That's how it's always been. The Gemini versus the Libras. It's since the dawn of time. Really.
Right. Right.
You know what? Do you think that maybe there's a possibility that neither of us especially like horoscopes because our own horoscope didn't resonate, and that if our own horoscope resonated with us, we'd feel differently? For instance, I've always felt like a Gemini. Now, this is my impression of Gemini. So if you're Gemini and you're listening, don't be offended. I'm not writing you off. Sometimes there are traits when I'm like, oh, I'm talkative. I could see that. But it's not like an especially flattering sign. And it's also not a sign that gets a lot of the attention. It's like a B character.
Ooh,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I've always been like, man, I wish I had a cooler sign. What's up with Leo? You know what I mean? Like, that seems like a cool sign. And so I wonder if that's also skewed our own, whether or not we believe in it. If we liked what we saw, maybe you'd believe in it more.
Yeah, this is such a I'm literally having synapses connected right now. That I think that's why people liked Michael Mercury so much, and why people would wait on the phone to talk to him for like an hour and a half or 2 hours, because they wanted somebody to validate who they were as a human being, and he told them exactly what they wanted to hear. You are this unique individual based on the hour that you were born and the stars in the sky and your proximity in the universe, and this is what makes you... and he would even say, I wish I could remember his catchphrase. He would say something like, he would say, caller, you know, someone would call and he would go, okay, Marsha from Salinas, California, you are the center of the universe. He would say something like that. And then the person would go, oh, Michael. And then he would just tap dance around them for 10 or 15 minutes. And then he would say, oh, I could read the rest of your chart, but we would need at least 2 hours in order to do this. Feel free to contact me at this website. And it was like a $300 surcharge. And I hated the guy so much. And after one of the shows, Stacey, I'm in Dave's car and he's driving me. You know, we wrap up the show and Michael Mercury gets in his old van and he drives away. And Dave and I are driving back to my apartment in Santa Cruz. And I go, Dave, I don't like doing that with Michael. It feels bad. I don't feel like we're doing our job. I don't feel like we're not doing any news for 3 hours. Like, it just doesn't feel entertaining and it doesn't feel good. And Dave goes, yeah, you know, we have Michael on once a month. It gives us an opportunity to take a break. And I go, you want to subject other people to Michael because you want to take a break. And there was something about it that was like,
right,
gross to me. And I guess it's like the same thing with like vitamin salesmen or, you know, stuff like that. It just feels so like taking advantage of poor, desperate people, you know?
Yeah. Well, and I also think that a lot of those, now this is very different, but you can't really do this with horoscopes because there is no like physical showing of signs that like believing in horoscopes makes you look like this. But like when it comes to that kind of like waist trimmer tea or diet supplements or any of those things, what always gets me and frustrates me is when someone has clearly had work done or has clearly, you know what I mean? Like has a personal trainer. And it's like, you don't use that product. You're hawking that product to someone who is desperate for a change in their lives and feels like they're out of options. And you're not showing them a realistic depiction of not only like how it worked for you, since you probably didn't use it to look like that, but secondly, like how maybe unhealthy it could be or how dangerous it could be for them.
Super base, Stacey. This has been a good segment. I needed to discharge about how much I hate astrology. Stacey, I gotta say this though. I'm gonna miss you while I'm in Hawaii, and we're not gonna be doing radio, and you're one of my favorite radio buddies, and I'm gonna have to like text you from Hawaii, and then I'm gonna feel bad because you're gonna be like, oh, here goes this Libra, you know, bragging about
you're being such a Libra right now. It's crazy.
And now I'm gonna feel bad, and I'm gonna be gone for 10 whole days, Stacey. So now you only get to do your show and sometimes Gene and Ursula.
I'm devastated. I'm going to just turn to Jake during the middle of our sports show and be like, what do you think about horoscopes?
Stacey, you're the best, and I'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Bye.
We got this one and one more to go, everybody, for this installment of the Best of Cairo Nights. And this one comes from a few months back. This is a little bit of an old one, but this is a listener's email with a question for me and Jack asking, do we pay too much attention to trans issues?
If you want to send us an email, you can reach us at the number 9, the number 7, the number 3, nights@gmail.com. So that's 973, like the radio station that you're listening to, Cairo 97.3, News Talk Radio. And then nights, like the night, only with an S, plural. And we'll answer it, probably, if we get a good one, we'll answer it for you. So we have a huge fan of the show. His name is Clint. And I forget where he's from, but he's a pretty cool guy. And Clint and I go back and forth about Jesus and go back about kids on the old Gmail account. Because again, Shane, I don't read the text line because I don't like, if you're a texter and you want to get in touch with me and you're a fan of the show, email me. It's a lot easier to get in touch with me that way. So his email starts out like this. It's about little trans kids. He says, Jack, you and I are similar. We are both inside our own heads. I feel like I could know you. Anyways, I get frustrated when people over-argue genders. Don't you think that there are confused kids or people looking for acclaim or identities when we give gender such a spotlight? I feel like one could try on a new gender, which may not be the best thing for them, and get stuck in a rut because of all the attention they get for quote-unquote being brave, for identifying as a different gender. With all of the applause and rights being so loud, that may be the most attention these people have ever received. Attention is addictive, and there must be some corruption in that. All right. So, it's from Clint. So Shane, this is a problem with like talking about gender dysphoria. If I can just say this, gender dysphoria is a medical condition. People have studied this for the better part of like 50 years. Shane, have you ever read about little kids who actually have like legit gender dysphoria? Have you ever read this in the DSM? Because I have. It's really rough to read.
Yeah, I have. Yeah, my grandfather actually bought a copy of the DSM, and we went through and we're talking about it, and we came across that. And it's not like they're handing it out anywhere. Pretty hard baseline to fall under to be able to get that type of treatment.
Really hard. So just so everybody knows, if you have sensitive ears about children harming themselves, you might want to click away for about 30 seconds. So under the most recent DSM, gender dysphoria is qualified by or established by a series of behaviors that these young kids exhibit. And it includes, but is not limited to, self-harm, the harming of genitals, the frequent biting of skin, which I thought was really interesting, an insistence on wearing clothes of the opposite gender, an insistence in recognition that they are not actually a girl and or a boy, extreme suicidality by a very early age. You're talking like 7, 8 years old. So it's really sad, right? And what has been found time and time again is that gender affirming care is the best solution to prevent these kids from killing themselves. It's been very effective. There is an institute in Sweden, which is the world's foremost institute for these kids. And the way that they do it, I think, is the way that the rest of the world should be doing it. They don't start the kids on hormone treatment. They don't start the kids. They don't do like crazy surgeries on kids, which is exceedingly rare, by the way. What they do is they do this wait and watch method. And this time frame takes anywhere from like 3 to 4 years before they actually start the treatment of these young kids who have gender dysphoria with actually like hormones or puberty blockers or stuff like that. It is very complicated. It is very medical. The issue is what we see and why everybody has decided to politicize this is this story out of Edmonds. Did you hear about this one, Shane? This is from Dory, by the way. There's a mom in Edmonds, and she said that her first grader was told to choose a gender in his class. So basically, you have a little 7-year-old, 6-year-old, and the teacher goes around, and she hands out a little piece of paper to all these little kids, and it says, are you a boy? Are you a girl? Are you both? Are you neither? That right there is anti-scientific garbage that has nothing to do with trans people. That is some crazy woke teacher who has no idea what she's talking about that is actively doing damage to those young little children. If there was actually a trans child in that classroom, that child with the proper diagnosis, with proper medical care, doesn't need to be singled out by having everybody else fill out a silly little form about their gender. Like, I don't understand what's wrong with people on either side of the spectrum with this, Shane. I really don't understand. Like, leftists are like, oh man, this kid's a little depressed. Maybe you're transgender. And then people on the right are like, trans people don't exist. I don't understand it, Shane. There's like mountains of, there's like mountains of evidence, clear cut evidence that goes back to the 1970s about trans people. It's as clear as day. I don't need to go through all of it. You can go through all of it. The point is that don't let a clip on Twitter or some rogue teacher in Edmonds or some insane right winger dictate to you how you should feel about trans people. Upgrade your brain matter, because one day it may matter. You know who said that? Del the funky Homo sapien, Deltron 3030, one of the greatest records of all time. Don't at me. Miss me with that. We're using all this like common nomenclature. There is such a thing as a trans kid. Do we need to pay attention to trans kids? Absolutely. All of the data would suggest that when you offer gender-affirming care to young trans children, and by gender-affirming care, I mean therapy, I mean letting them dress in the clothes that they want to dress in, all of the research would suggest that something like 7 out of 10 of these young kids, I'm talking about young kids who get diagnosed with gender dysphoria, they either A, age out of it by the time that they actually hit puberty, or B, they are legitimate little trans kids and they need our attention and they need our help. I don't buy this like bizarre argument. There is such a thing as rapid onset gender dysphoria. It largely affects teenage girls, largely. And there is a treatment plan in place for that that many therapists have. Don't be bashing trans people because there are bad doctors or bad teachers or crazy people on the internet, is what I'm trying to tell people. Like, don't attack transness because you saw some non-binary person talking about how all cisgender people need to die. Like, Shane, how many trans people you know? Just out of curiosity.
I actually know about three or four.
Right. I got about three or four that I know as well. You know what they're like? Like normal, average, everyday people that just happen to be on hormones. Oh, wait a minute, Shane. I'm like a normal person who's on hormones too. It is on steroids. It is a normal process that happens to a very, very, very small amount of people in the United States. And all of the hullabaloo around it, all the screaming and the crying from people on the left and people on the right, we're talking about 350,000 people who have a medical condition, who need our care, and they need our love, and they need our understanding. And I am sick and tired of people trying to make this about something that it's not, when they could take 3 minutes to do a cursory Google search and just learn and figure it out for themselves. I'm done, Shane. That's our show. Actually, wait. We gotta come back and wrap all this up. So we'll be right back with Lisa Brooks coming up right after this. And be nice to trans people.
Well, everybody, we've made it. We're at the final segment here of this installment of the Best of Cairo Nights. And me personally, I would like to wish everybody a lovely weekend. Stay healthy, stay happy, go see some friends, call somebody up you haven't talked to in a while, and, you know, just enjoy yourself. That's all that we hope for, because we're just going to leave you with this one. This is what's on your mind from, you know, a week or two ago, so please enjoy. And we'll be seeing you on Monday.
Lisa.
Yes.
What's on your mind? How are you?
Hi, I'm doing swell and well, etc. It's good to talk to you again. No major crow updates. I sent you photos of crows.
I don't know
if you recall that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And our good friend Chunky is the only one that came out today. Drinky was missing, which is very unusual because generally it's Chunky that's missing, and Drinky is the one who comes out and begs for the peanuts and the walnuts, but not today. Today it was just Chunky, and Chunky got all the peanuts and walnuts. So
this is very interesting, Lisa. Yeah. How do you feel about, is there anything else going on? Do you have any other thoughts outside of the crows? I'm curious, because I feel like I eat up all your time talking about crows.
I have plenty of thoughts. Yes, yes, I do. But I'm rehearsing a lot. I have a gig coming up on June 4th.
Ooh.
My first gig since the pandemic started. So I'm in rehearsals with my guitar player every weekend, and we've got 20 originals, maybe 22 originals we're working on.
Wow.
So, you know, a lot of these are songs I've recorded, but some that have never been heard before. And I'm very excited. I have new hair in anticipation of this.
Are you gonna be performing Escape by Rupert Holmes? I do quite enjoy...
These are originals. Did I
say? Oh.
No, I don't. Well, the Pina Colada song, I don't think that's on the docket. But if you come to my gig, I might make an exception and sing it just for you.
Okay, I will only come if you do an 8-minute review of
the Pina Colada
Escape
song
by Rupert Holmes.
Okay.
Only. And I demand that you do the chorus minimum 10 times.
If you like Pina Coladas,
yeah,
getting
exactly
caught in the rain.
Yeah.
If you're not into yoga,
if you have half a brain.
But then I need you to invite me on stage to do this solo. That's what I need you to do.
You
otherwise,
got it.
I won't come.
You got it.
Okay, cool. It's a deal. It's contractually, we've agreed on it. You said it. That means it's a contract. That means I can sue you if we don't do it. Shane, what's on your mind, boss?
What is on my mind is that I will not be here tomorrow.
That's right.
I will be taking the evening off, and I'm going to go see one of my favorite bands, The Story So Far, from Walnut Creek, California. Good little rock group. And it's going to be the 9th time that I've seen this band. So this is the band I've definitely seen the most out of them. So been a big fan for a while. Going to have a nice little evening out with some friends. And taking a break every once in a while from the radio because I'm doing a lot all the time. So need to take a few breaks here and there.
What's on my mind is that tomorrow we will have Andrew producing the show, correct?
Andrew will be taking care of my duties.
Wonderful. And that's always a good time to spend time with Andrew. And what else is on my mind? Not so much. This is a problem. Is that I spend all my day thinking, and then by the end of the day, I have no more thoughts because I've officially downloaded them all. Other than this, if you're out there and you're the kind of person who's saying to yourself that the movie 2000 Mules is somehow have you heard about this movie?
Nope.
This movie 2000, it's a documentary that supposedly uncovers the election fraud of 2020. Just remember that in an experiment, you need to have a control group. And when you don't have a control group, that means the experiment is invalid.
Nice. So very good, Jack.
So no matter what Dinesh D'Souza says about election fraud, you gotta compare and contrast with a control group. Otherwise, it doesn't matter. On that happy note, I'll take us out this evening. For lovely Lisa Brooks and Sugar Shane Peterson, I wish everybody a wonderful evening. We will be back tomorrow. Shane will be back on Thursday. And we will see you then. Goodbye.